You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we celebrate All Saints' Day. It's a day of sadness, in a sense, because we are remembering people who have died in Christ and they're no longer with us, but also it's a day of great celebration as we think about how people are no longer in this world of pain and suffering, but they are with God in a wonderful situation, and on the day that Christ comes, their situation will become even more wonderful, so we have much to look forward to in Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to look at three different readings, and I want to make a few comments on each one, and I hope you find them to be a blessing. First of all, we come to our Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death." What does that reading mean? It says the righteous perish, and then a little bit later it talks about devout men. So those who are righteous, those who are devout, those are people who have faith in, from that perspective there, they have faith in the Messiah that is to come. But for us, so righteous and devout, we have faith in the Messiah who has come and has done a finished work. Notice what it says, though. No one ponders it in his heart. Think about it like this for a moment. We have two people living next door to each other. One is in Christ and practicing his Christian faith. The other one is not in Christ. And from this perspective, we see that they both eventually get sick, they both get old, and they both die. And somebody might say, well, what does it matter whether we're in Christ or not? This guy was, this guy wasn't, they both got sick, they both died. No one is pondering what God wants us to ponder here. He wants us to ponder that there are two huge differences between those two people. The one, when he died, God took him home to heaven. The other one, when he died, he went to a place of torment, and it's only going to get worse. The other thing I want to point out here is that we need to keep in mind two different perspectives. So when we have a loved one, and we are together with that loved one, that's a time of great joy. It's wonderful to be together with someone that we love. What happens, though, at the time of death is there is separation. And the separation is what causes us to mourn. It's what causes us to be sad. When our loved one dies in Christ, obviously we are sad. That's normal and natural. But what else is going on, though? We have the other perspective. So for us, it's separation, but from God's perspective, though, at the time of death, God is reaching into the world. God is grabbing a hold of that person who is his holy child in Christ, and God is bringing that person to himself. So we live in a world of pain and suffering and evil. So God, at the appointed time, reaches down and takes that person out of this world of pain and suffering and evil. Yes, we are sad. We miss the person, but from God's perspective, it's a wonderful thing. It also tells us here about people walking uprightly. We live in a world today where people get the idea that if I walk in a certain way, if I live in a certain way, then God's going to bring me into heaven. So it's always God getting a hold of us, making us his own in Christ through holy baptism. And then once God has done that and we are in Christ, then we're going to have a desire within us to want to walk uprightly. And what does it say about such people? They enter into peace. They will be at perfect peace. And what about their bodies? Their bodies will be simply sleeping or resting. We can't wake them, but when Jesus comes, he will wake them up. As he said there in John 5, he said, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth." He wants us to know that death is not the end. Today's epistle reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, oftentimes thought of the resurrection chapter. And notice the key things that Paul says here that should give us great encouragement about being saved and about Jesus' work truly being finished. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me." Let's take a look at some of this again. So notice there in verse 1, Paul preached the gospel to them. What is the gospel? Gospel is good news. Sometimes I think the good news, though, is no longer as good as it used to be. Imagine eating your favorite food for every meal. That first meal, wow, that tastes really good. But can you imagine, though, if you had the same food for meal after meal after meal after meal, it would still taste the same, but would you really be savoring it? Would you really be rejoicing in that same food? Probably not. The gospel is so good, though, isn't it? But sometimes, though, we have to put it in perspective. We have to remember that the Bible teaches that for each and every one of us, we have sinned, and because of our sin, we deserve to go to a place of torment forever and ever. Now, that's a pretty big thing to believe, isn't it? Kind of hard to believe. And we might even think, well, wait a minute now, I'm not that bad of a person. Certainly God wouldn't send me there. But according to Scripture, though, every single one of us, we deserve eternal torment. And furthermore, there's nothing we can do to get out of that situation. So when we really begin to ponder that, I mean, think about being in pain, like having a clothespin on your nose. It's not so bad for a few seconds. But imagine doing it for a minute or an hour or a day. Imagine doing it for the next 100 million years. It wouldn't be so pleasant, but I don't think eternal punishment, though, is having a clothespin on our nose. The Bible describes it as much, much worse. So when we really begin to get that picture and we know that God is serious about all that stuff, then the good news starts to become really, really good, because we know that we can't get out of it, but yet God has intervened. God has sent his Son. God has taken away our sins. God has opened the way to heaven. He's done it all, and there's no charge. It's a free gift. It's available for everyone. How good is that? But it's good, though, that we do ponder the sin and death and punishment from time to time, because as we do, we're going to have a smile on our face as we ponder the good news in Jesus Christ. And then Paul went on and he talked about how they received this gospel. I'm afraid we live in a world today where many people are not receiving it. And they're probably not receiving it because they don't really think they need it. Either they think there is no God, so there is no eternity, or they think that they're decent people, so things will turn out okay. But for one reason or another, they just haven't received it because they don't see the need for it. But think about us, so. We have received. God has impressed the need upon us. God has given it to us, and we have it. Let's rejoice in that. And then he said people have taken their stand upon that. If we would ask anybody that we know, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, what are you standing on for your entrance into heaven? We would get all kinds of answers. What are you standing on? They would say, I'm standing on my hard work. I'm standing on me being a good guy. I'm standing on me helping other people who are in need. All kinds of answers out there, but think about the one famous hymn and how the line goes in the hymn, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So no matter what it is, apart from Christ, it is not something to stand on. So here in this case, they are standing on the one solid foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's because he is the very Son of God, and because he did this particular finished work. And Paul reminds them that by this gospel, by knowing this truth, by receiving Christ unto yourself, you are saved. So imagine this pit of fire and torment, and you're slipping into it, and there's no way to get out, and all of a sudden, God grabs a hold of you, and he pulls you up out of that pit. And you're so glad about that, and then he puts you into a situation that is unbelievably good, and it's a place you'll be forever and ever. It is such an amazing thing. So Paul reminded them that by this gospel you are saved, and then he wrote, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Otherwise it was for nothing. May God so grant to each of us and to so many others that his work in holy baptism, his work through his word, his work in all kinds of ways is never for nothing for any of us. Let's be honest. Many people have heard the word of God. Many people have been baptized into Jesus Christ, but are they really benefiting now? In many cases, they probably are not. It's a very sad thing, but if they're not, is all lost? No. God is simply calling them to repent. He's calling them to see their sin, to be sorry for their sin, and by his grace to again embrace Jesus Christ and the blessings of holy baptism. And then Paul went on here to talk about these important things that Christ did. So Christ died. He really truly died. He wasn't just like very sick or near death. He really truly died. And he died for our sins. So sin is our problem. He died for our sins. And he did so according to the scriptures. So in the Old Testament, it says he would do it. And when he came, he did do it. And then it says that he was buried. If we're not quite sure if someone is dead or not, we're not going to bury them right away. We're going to wait and see if maybe they come back to life again. God wants us to know that his son, he truly laid down his life. He truly died. Therefore, he was buried. But that wasn't the end, though. On the third day, Jesus had told it over and over again that on the third day, I will rise, and he did. The scriptures told all about that, and according to the scriptures, Jesus did it. And then, how do we know he's alive, though? Have we seen him? We haven't, but look at all the different witnesses, though. So Peter saw him, the 12 apostles saw him, 500 at once saw him, and so on. All these different people saw him alive. So really, truly, he was dead and buried. Really, truly, he rose. Really, truly, he is alive now because we have the evidence to show it. God wants us to know that this is good news for us, and it's good news for all of our loved ones. Earlier on in 1 Corinthians 15, it basically says that people who believe in Christ just for this life, if Christ has not risen from the dead, they are to be pitied more than all people, because it's like believing in something that has no substance, that's not true. But God wants us to know the substance is here, it is true, and through Jesus Christ, there is truly life now, and there is truly life forever. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. We have a conversation here between Martha and Jesus in regard to her brother Lazarus, who has just died. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Looking back at the reading, we can see that Martha had this confidence in Jesus. She knew that he was able to raise her brother back to life. And she also knew that when Jesus came again, definitely he would be raised back to life at that time. So she was right in looking at things in that way. Sometimes people get the idea that maybe only the believers will be raised, the other ones won't be raised. Or some people would say, hey, maybe nobody will be raised. But what does the Bible say, though? In Acts chapter 24, it says, "There shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." So God wants all people to know that resurrection is coming for everyone, whether they want it or not. Because the resurrection is coming for sure, let's make sure that we are and that we continue in Jesus Christ. It's going to be a horrible thing someday for many, but a day of great joy, though, for many others. Let's make sure that by God's grace, we are in that position of joy. And then Jesus said to Martha, he said of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." So he's the one who's going to do the raising. He's the one who has given us physical life, and he is also our source of spiritual life. It's all connected to Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that. And then he said to her, "He who believes in me will live even though he dies." So people are going to be physically alive, they're going to be physically dead, and they're going to be physically alive again. Jesus wants us to know that is true. That will happen for all people. And then he said, "And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." We might say, that seems to be a contradiction, Jesus. You just said people will live, die, live, but then you said some people, they will never die. Well, with live, die, live, that's talking about us physically. This idea of never dying, that's talking about us spiritually. So while we are physically alive, God takes action through baptism, and God makes us alive in a second way. So now we have spiritual life. And then as we go on in life, in many cases to a ripe old age, and then finally physically we die, but that's not the end, though, because spiritually we are still alive. Does our spirit somehow stay with our body in the grave? By no means. Think about what Jesus said to the criminal on the cross. He said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Not talking about his body being with Jesus, but talking about his soul and spirit being with Jesus. So God wants us to know that when we die in Christ, that is not a bad thing at all. What's going on there? He's taking us out of this world of pain and suffering. He's bringing the most important part of us unto himself. So for all of us who have lost loved ones, let's know they are not lost. No one's out there looking for them. God knows where they're at. God has taken them home to heaven in Christ. So we can know where they are, we can know they're okay, they're at peace, they're at rest, we can find great comfort in that. And then we can be comforted too as we think about ourselves, one day dying in Christ. It's going to be okay. And maybe further we should think about people we know who maybe have not yet received God's gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So the ones who have died, they're okay. We can't change that now. We're okay. We have Christ. But the ones who maybe don't yet know Christ, That can be a mission now for the rest of our lives, that we are praying for such people, trying to reach out to such people, so that they also then might join us and be with God forever and ever, not because any of us deserve it, because of what Jesus has done by his living and dying to take away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, comfort all who are mourning as they think about their loved ones who have died in Christ. Give us great joy that even now you have placed us on the path leading to eternal life, and even give us compassion for those who do not yet know Jesus, that we would pray for them and do whatever we can to give them your truth, so that by the Holy Spirit you might show them the truth, show them their lost condition, and give them your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.